Podium Audio presents Missing, Book 2 of Raun, written by Mikael Katz-Krefeld, performed by Peter Noble. 1. Hohenschönhausen Prison, East Berlin, 11th July, 1989. It was the dead of night. The rain pounded onto the corrugated iron roofs. But other than that, Hohenschönhausen was shrouded in silence. In the first watchtower that was mounted on the outer perimeter wall, the guards' silhouettes seemed to glide past the frosted glass windows. Another four soldiers from Division 16 were posted at the foot of the tower, but their carabins hung loosely from their shoulders. It was a quiet night. No more incoming prisoner transports were expected, and the men chatted among themselves as they protected their cigarettes in the cup of their hands. Colonel Erhard Hauser emerged from the elevator on the first floor of cell block B. He glanced up at the red light in the ceiling and stopped abruptly at the entrance of a long corridor. Dressed in civilian clothing, the colonel was almost 2 meters tall and drenched to the bone. His pale overcoat clung to his kneecaps. Hauser was only in his mid-30s, but the hard lines in his face made him look much older. Obviously restless and impatient, the colonel wriggled his fingers into his soaked black leather gloves as he shifted his weight from one foot to the other. The entire prison was regulated by the lights in the ceiling, a carefully planned and systematic principle of isolation that ensured the inmates would not come into contact with anyone else when they were transferred from their cells to one of the interrogation rooms. Even though he very much approved of the system, Hauser did not appreciate being kept waiting. At last, the light switched to green. Hauser took a left and continued along the corridor. Upholstered, hermetically sealed doors on either side. Hohenschönhausen had 120 interrogation rooms spread over 3 floors, but despite the lateness of the hour, almost all of them were in use. For this was another principle strictly adhered to at Hohenschönhausen prison. Never let the inmates sleep through the night. Hauser withdrew a key from his pocket, let himself into the room at the very end of the corridor, and flipped the light switch. The room contained nothing but the bare essentials: a large desk, which took up most of the space, 2 chairs on either side, a filing cabinet in the corner, an interrogation room that was identical to the other 119 of its kind in the prison. But Hauser was not here to interview a prisoner, nor had he done so in the past 6 years. The colonel had his own interrogation methods, and this room was merely staged as his office. He edged past the empty desk and made straight for the filing cabinet, which he opened with another shiny little key. In the top drawer, he found a bunch of keys. He dropped the keys in his pocket and turned on his heel. Less than 5 minutes later, Hauser was back in the courtyard. He flipped up his collar against the rain and made a dash for the prison's former administration buildings, which had been converted into a warehouse for storage. A soldier was guarding the top of the stairs to the cellar. The minute he recognized Hauser, he greeted the colonel with a smart salute. Hauser ignored the soldier and hurried down the steep stairs. In the cellar, 2 men from Hauser's division emerged from the dark as he passed. He nodded briefly in greeting, and the 3 of them continued along the corridor, which had a row of cells on either side. The cells were now used for storage, except for the one at the end, which belonged to Hauser's department, Division Z. Only a select few knew about this room and what it contained. Not even Comrade Erich Mielke, head of the Stasi, nor Comrade Erich Honecker knew of its existence. They were merely informed of the results that it produced. Occasionally, that is. Hauser retrieved the bunch of keys from his pocket and unlocked the cell. Leaning hard on the steel door, he pushed it open. The rusty hinges.